to Christ and the sinner. Again, I encourage Christians to learn something. Because day by day, I'm more convinced that the more of us, that is the Christian, who can get engaged in enlightening others, is the more people we will bring to Christ. It's not good for you or me that we come to church week after week. We are taught, but we are never in the position to confidently share the truth. That's not good. And definitely from the passage in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, that's not what God wants. God wants enlightened men and women so that the people that he sent in your world tomorrow, the man, the woman that comes in your way and in many cases provide an opportunity for you or me to introduce Christ, but because we are not sure of ourselves, we keep letting those people pass and not helping them to understand God's truth. That's not good. So tonight, the sinner and Christ. One, the sinner is lost because of the state or the condition he or she is in. The specific sinful act, the specific sin of the sinner is not that which condemn the sinner. It doesn't mean the specific sin is not calculated by God. What God is more affected by is the sinful state or condition in which the sinner lives. The state or condition in which the sinner live, conduct his or her life. On that ground, if the sinner, the man, the alien sinner who has never turned his or her life over to Christ, if that man, the alien sinner, were to stop lying. Let's say that was one of the prime sin of the sinner. Stop lying. Or stop stealing. Stop committing fornication. Stop being covetous. Stop robbing God. If that sinner should stop all of those things, the sinner would still be lost. That's right. You see, brothers and sisters, when a man or a woman live in an ungodly state, a sinful state, dropping off two or three or four or half a dozen sins still does not help the person. because the person lives in that sinful state. That person has never made a commitment to Christ to get out of that sinful state. That's why terms like baptizing to Christ is so important. Because it is only then that the sinner gets out of that state or that condition. So dropping off half a dozen sins, or many sins, while that, okay, it's good, but that sin are going to still be last. You know, the Bible talks about people who are dead in their sin. It's talk about the sinful condition or state, out of which that man or woman never come. Not that he cannot, but he has never made a decision to give his or her life to Christ. In fact, while I'm speaking, I'm thinking and said, I should have a lesson like this on a Sunday morning when we do have a few visitors. Yes. So as I've said, stop lying, stealing, committing adultery, fornication. Stop being covetous. Stop robbing God. That man or woman would still be lost because of the state or condition in which he or she lives. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. Read it for me. Ephesians 2.
And you hath he quickened.
And you have he
quickened.
That is made alive.
Who were dead in trespasses and sins.
Who was what?
Dead in trespasses and sins.
These people that Paul is writing about are writing to, they are now quickened. Notice the term, because the word quick means to make alive. But notice why they need this quickening or made alive spiritually. Because their previous lives were one of being dead in trespasses and sin. That's the sinful state. That's the sinful condition in which these people once lived. So, dropping off few sins at that time did not really benefit them, because dropping off few sins and you still live in the sinful state does not really help. That was verse 1 and 2.
Where in time past, he walked according to the course of this world.
That's right. That's the sinful state or condition. Read, brother.
According to the prince of the power of the air.
That is the devil. You live according to the Satan dictate. You see, you live in sin. Watch here now. The man of God or the woman of God, you live at least that ought to be your goal and objective once you become a Christian. You live to please God. You live striving not to commit sin. Does that mean you never sin? No. You do sin. And if at any moment you begin to think that, and even give God thanks, that God thank you, you know, I live above sin. That means I don't sin at all, God. Then right then, you are finding yourself in danger. Just to think that. Just to think that you have not offended God because you find yourselves on a higher spiritual plateau. Just that thinking that you don't sin, that alone put you in danger. So, living on a higher spiritual standard doesn't mean we don't sin. What it means or ought to mean is that we do not live by the dictates of sin. When we become Christian, we live for righteousness, to do righteousness, to practice righteousness. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 2, it's talking about the state and the condition of sinfulness in which the ungodly man or woman sin. Now, where you and I come in is to help that man or woman understand some of these things that I'm saying. Miss Jane, I know you're a sincere person, but that once you used to stay all night at the clubhouse, and you used to live this type of life, and you give up that now, but you still have not given your life to Christ. Miss Jane, that's good that you give that up, but you are still in sin. You live in a condemned state as you are now. Even though you stop going to the club at night and what, because of the state or the condition of your life. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, Miss Jane, it means that you need to turn your life over to Jesus Christ for him to dictate how you use your life. That means you must repent and get baptized. It is that repentance and getting baptized that change the person's state or the person's condition. And it matters not what that man or woman drop off in respect to sinful practices. Because that man or woman live in a sinful condition, Paul just called it dead in trespasses and sin. That's the state or condition. Then you'll always be living in condemnation because of that state. It does not matter how much the sinner tries to please God by doing certain right things. That's right. Let me repeat that. It does not matter how a sinner, man or woman, tries to please God by doing now and again certain right things. And keeping certain tenets of God's spiritual law, it does the sinner no good because of the state or the condition in which that person lives. The person lives in sin. Again, that the person drop off 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 sinful practices, but the person still lives in a sinful state and has never made a commitment to get out of that state through God's help, through faith, repentance, and baptism. It does the sinner no good because the person is dead in trespasses and sin. The person needs to become alive to righteousness. and you do not come alive to righteousness until after repentance and baptism. You see, those few good deeds are done at the wrong place, outside of Christ. The half a dozen good deeds the person tried to do are of no use outside of Jesus Christ. Look again. Ephesians 2. Let me hear verse 3 this time.
Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh.
You see, among whom also we do what?
We all had our
conversation don't mean a little discussion you're having with somebody. That's the way we use the word conversation. No, conversation here means manner of life. We had a manner of life in ungodliness in time past. And until you change your state, dropping off a few sinful practices and doing a few good doesn't help. You need to change your state and condition. Look. You see, let us try to help people to understand awesome spiritual good getting into Christ. Sometimes you and I in teaching a man or woman need to let the person understand some of the implication of that, because it means your status has been changed. It's like you live in some country. You are allowed to do certain things, but there are certain things you can't do. You can't vote, you can't. But once now you become a citizen, then you can vote, you can do this. Well, it's like with Jesus Christ. We need to help people understand that you need to become a citizen. That doesn't come by the person just doing a few good here and there or dropping off a few evil here and there. Becoming a citizen of Christ's kingdom means making a decision to turn your life over to the management of Jesus Christ, where your sin is removed through Christ's blood and your status from being dead in trespasses and sin changed from that to being a saint. Look on this business of in Christ. 1 John chapter 1, 6 to 7. 1 John.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But if we walk in the light,
mm-hmm,
as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
You see, brothers and sisters, watch here now. I don't know if you got it. The blood of Jesus Christ does not work on the sinner. Let me say that another way. As long as the sinner live in the sinful state or condition, that person is isolated from the cleansing blood of Christ. But once that man or woman make a commitment to Christ by repenting and getting baptized, that person's status spiritually is changed. The person is now at a different place in God's scheme of things, in a different position in God's scheme of things, is now having a different relationship with the Almighty God through obedience. And you know what is happening? The blood of Jesus Christ start working on that man or woman. From that person become a Christian. And if that person remain a faithful Christian, always striving to do better, to please God, for the next 100 years that God bless the person with a long life, the blood of Jesus Christ continue to cleanse that person. That's right. The sinner does not have that blessing and privilege. That's what we mean by the state, the condition in which the person lives. When the person lives in a disobedient state or condition, benefit of the blood of Jesus Christ. The passage the brothers just read talk about fellowship with one another. But it's not only fellowship with one another, it's also fellowshipping with the Almighty God through Christ. And that's what makes the continuous cleansing available. That was verse 6 and 7.
Yes.
6 and 7.
Yes.
Turn to another John, chapter 15, St. John this time, verse 7.
If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
You hear again, even the privilege of prayer is conditional. There's a lot of time we run to John chapter 9, verse 31, and that is a good passage. Now we know that God heareth not sinner, but if any man be a worshipper of God, him he hear. That's a good passage. But there are many more. What the brother is reading here in the book of John, chapter 15 and verse 7, is another good passage to show that effective prayer is dependent on having a good relationship with the Almighty God through Christ. That is, a Christian, for your prayer to be effective, put another way, for your prayer to be heard, put another way, for God to listen and respond to your prayer, you must be in Jesus Christ. Listen to the passage again, 15, verse 7.
If ye abide in me.
Notice, if. Don't take that word simply. Because what Jesus Christ is saying by using that word in introducing what he's saying is that that word is creating or stating a conditional situation. If you abide in me. And only if you abide in me.
And my words abide in you.
And if my words abide in you,
ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
Only if you abide in me and my word abide in you.
That's right.
That's what Christ is saying. So even prayer is a conditional thing based on that man or woman being in Christ. Wait. Jesus Christ just stated here, which your brother has just read, if you miss it, that you must not just get in him. You must stand there. That's right. Country people don't say stay there. They say stand there. We must stay in Christ. Abiding in him. a backsliding Christian, and an alien sinner are not told to do the same thing to address their sin problem. Be mindful of that. You cannot say it to an alien sinner, "Yes, John, you stole the lady's money, and you are sorry, and God forgive you." Yes, you can acknowledge that he's sorry. And the person may not call the police, but to say God will forgive him. Sin is not forgiven like that. Don't belittle the blood of Jesus Christ by telling men and women who have not met God's condition for forgiveness that if they do this, they are forgiven. They do that, they are forgiven. Not the alien sinner. Now, a man or woman who had previously submitted his or her life to Christ can be told if that man or woman makes up his or her mind to repent in sincerity. That person can be told, if you repent honestly in God's sight, God will forgive you. Repent and do better. But you cannot say that to the sinner. I'm not saying you can't say it to the sinner. You must apologize to the gentleman or to the lady. Yes, you can apologize. But sin is not removed by apology. Not for the alien sinner. They are not told by Christ to do the same thing to address their sin problem. They are told two different things.
I was about to close and pick up another time. Let me make another statement or two. You go to the hospital and I met you and we spoke about you visit Brother John Brown in the hospital. And in many cases I will ask you or you will ask me, "How is he?" You are asking, is he improving? Is he doing better? You are asking about that person's mode or state or condition. When any man or woman is outside of Jesus Christ, you are always in a bad state and condition. Always. Are you a kind person? That's okay. Are you a truthful and honest person? That's okay. But that doesn't mean you're a Christian. You see, brothers and sisters, to make men and women Christian, Jesus Christ had to go to the cross of Calvary and died a cruel, barbaric, and civilized death. So let us never give men and women the idea that just doing some little trivial things that lies in their power make them saints. Only Jesus Christ can make us saints when we comply with the condition of salvation. Only then. And you and I must not unknowingly try to deceive people.
men and women in the church and out of the church continue to use contrary and unscriptural ways to address people's sinful state and condition. I'm saying this is done with those of us in the church and out of the church. We must be prepared to take a little time off and share with men and women passages like the one in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. A passage that is describing the state or the condition that that person lives in, the way of existence for that person. And until that man or woman make a conscientious decision to turn his or her life under the management of Jesus Christ, that state or condition will not change. I'm going to pick up on this point of men and women in and out of the church continues to use contrary and unscriptural ways to address the sinful state and condition of men and women. They are 3 points. Yes, when I pick up, hopefully next week Sunday night, I'll pick up and close this lesson with a few additional points. But again, you as a child of God, don't add to people's confusion in respect to the way Jesus Christ is going to deal with our sin. It can be dealt with only on Jesus' terms and condition. And you and I must never forget that. And you and I must acquaint ourselves with the how it is done and the how it is not done. There is a lot of work Christ has for us. Let us equip ourselves that God can use us.